There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is Jimmy Geek.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek's 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that goes by and so things and things. Blah, 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 blah. And joining me today is Lee. How you doing, Lee?
I'm wondering, are you okay? Because you're sounding a little odd.
Yeah, well, it's getting that time, right? We're down to, as we record this, 16 days until Dragon Con.
16 days. Mm-hmm.
16.
Yep.
Six.
But you know what?
1-6.
I got a guest today.
Oh, yes, you did. That's
yes.
A pretty big guest, too.
I mean,
she's probably kind of short. But
Joanne Kelly, who is Micah on Warehouse 13, and this is the first time she's ever been to Dragon Con, and it's awesome.
That is.
Congratulations, Lee. You finally caught them all.
I caught them all. And you know what? So we're not going to segue. That's Q. He is Dr. Q.
Didn't go to college for all those years. And get a letter to not
I did,
be called
I didn't
doctor.
Go to Mad Science Academy for all those years. Just
not to just call you Mr. But Dr. Q is the director of the alternate history track. Hey, how are you? I'm sorry. I'm so excited about Joanne Kelly. I can't stand it. But yay, how are you?
I'm excited for you. So, all good. I just couldn't help not saying
really
that joke.
Yeah, it's fine. And I have caught them all. That's actually kind of cool, too, because actually I was talking about this. This means that the five that are in every episode that are the main five are going to be there. The only two really missing are CCH Pounder and Janelle Williams. We got 16 days. Let's see
I'm aware that like everyone in my track are fans of that show, so I'm well aware.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yay.
So that's great news. We also got another guest announcement today that is kind of amazing. Sir Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
Yes. And I immediately sent an email to our senior director going, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
There's
and,
a.
Apparently, he's here for a very limited run here. So,
he is, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I understand this happens. It's all good. I mean, I just think the fact that we're getting to folks who get the chance to meet him, it will be great because he was here a couple of years back and he was just awesome.
It's like 3 years ago, I think it was. Was it three?
Yeah, they all run together for me. It wasn't last year.
It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't the last year or the year prior to that. It had to be.
It was the year that Leonard Nimoy was here because that was a part of why I hurt my eye.
There you go, memory tricks.
That is true.
So, that was the same year that Leonard went over to Bill and went, hey, Bill, seen any good movies lately? I remember that. Yeah, that was a good time.
Okay, but before we go down this path, let's stop so we can talk about what is alternate history, dear sir, and what does your track do?
We here at the alternate history track are firm believers in the age-old question of what if. So we play around with history, whether it's histories of wars that could have gone another way or reimagining present-day scenarios if certain times in the past just never ended. The most popular and visible of which in alternate history is probably the steampunk community.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a whole lot of other folks that like to use a hyphen punk at the end of their names, such as diesel punks, clock punks, rococo punks, which are just colorful and fabulous, and many other kind of folks. It kind of stretches all over, unlike a lot of other fan tracks, our particular one stretches over all forms of media imaginable. We cover everything from books, movies, TV shows, comics, art, music, you name it. We cover all of it.
Yeah. And you, obviously with the popularity that grew with, steampunk, that grew out of that grew the alternate history track, but you guys also cover like even just books like
Time Machine and things like that. That's all under your umbrella, right?
Yep. If it involves time travel, it's generally safe to assume we've got it covered in our track. We actually do a very popular panel most years, not every year. I try to vary things up, called Practical Time Travel. And this year is going to be a little bit different version of the same panel, where I've got two people with a very much time travel as a fictional device background, and two folks on loan from the science track of actual physics of time travel.
Oh, nice.
So they're going to kind of talk it through in the two different angles. So that's always fun.
That's really cool. Now, you also in the past, you've had a very popular, I don't know, what would you call it, art opening? I don't know what you would call it, showing.
In years past, we would just do it for a specific panel block.
Right.
And it had gotten so popular that we would try to expand it. And now that we have a bunch of programming in the Westin, space is kind of a premium. We couldn't do that. So rather than just shorten the kind of art exhibits to just 1 hour, we made the decision last year to do it as a museum piece. Mm-hmm. So we started the Museum of Alternate History last year, and we put it all in our track room for the whole weekend. And it was a great idea. And the number one bit of feedback we got from those lovely apps that everyone downloaded was that they wish they would have had more time between panels to look at the exhibits. So one of the first things we decided to do this year was to have open museum hours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sweet. And
so both panel rooms will be open for the entire hour, just for folks to kind of come in and out whenever's good for their schedule in any one of the three open museum hours that we've got throughout the course of the weekend.
That is awesome. That's an awesome idea. And so we talked about this when you first did this, which was that it or when it first happened, there was just so many people that were outside that it, you know, it's grown every year.
No,
so yeah, it's ridiculous,
it got kind
right?
of crazy. So this way, both anyone that wants, you know, to really spend some time and look at some of these works can find some time in their schedule for one. For two, it kind of prevents the backlog of people trying to cram in the very limited time to see all these neat things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a win-win situation, because even on the back end, since it's just both panel rooms open, it means part of my team can take a lunch break and go get something to eat and then come back later, because we don't need as many people to work just kind of keeping the doors open and checking badges. Mm-hmm. It's every form of win you can be. I think it was a great idea.
Cool.
I'm very pleased with the people on my team that came up with it, because I don't think of anything original. I just kind of, I'm the figurehead here. My team's pretty awesome.
And you bring up something that all of our track directors say, which is, you know, I might do some of this stuff, but during con, thank God I got my team. Thank God, because otherwise we'd all just be even more insane than we are. So thank you, all of our staff. So, volunteers. Minions. Volunteer minions. Whatever you are.
Now, I'm still working on automatons. I'll get there.
Now, you guys are actually pretty pretty famous for your parties, too. You guys got any going this year?
Yeah, well, we've got both parties, both big parties that we do are coming back, starting with Thursday night at 8:30, the Aether Lounge. I think the name of the game this year was...
By the way,
this
is the one thing that Lee hates about you.
Because
you're dragging con into Thursday. But go on.
It doesn't... They... Well, on purpose.
It's time travel. Let's just think of it as time travel.
This. No. See, here's the thing. They do that on purpose, and that's great. But they do that on purpose because they know some people are there. But Dragon Con doesn't really start on Thursday. You know what? They
now,
have a
now,
problem
mind you,
telling time anyway. Come on.
Well, we do have two track rooms that are open all 4 days. So we've got plenty of programming, but it initially stemmed from the fact that we unfortunately crammed out to capacity Meehan's Public House, which was the pub that we would meet up at on Thursdays. And it was causing to be a bit of a congestion problem, and no one was actually meeting and mingling. They were just trying to grab food and having a miserable time. We ended up getting a special dispensation to do the Aether Lounge, which, you know, Lee, you can complain all you like, but Thursday is totally the new Friday. Wednesday is the new Thursday.
I agree that Thursday is the new Friday, but officially,
I'm telling you, it's a matter of time. It is just a matter of time before officially we're going to have to start programming on Thursdays, too. I'm just saying.
And he's a doctor of time, so he knows these things.
It is just a matter of time. I'm just telling you. We all take off an entire week around that anyway. Or at least those of us that have been going forever have.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
So it's a week-long affair, no matter how we cut it. So anyhow, our first party is Aether Lounge on Thursday, and kind of the name for the game for this entire year really was we were taking everything we did well from last year and using the feedback we got from everybody and improving on it. So in the previous 2 years we've done Aether Lounge, everyone enjoyed it, but the intent is for mixing and mingling and getting to know some people that you don't already know and kind of learning a little bit what to expect once the con gets started. Which was generally accomplished, but this year we're actually having hostesses. We've got party games, so folks that are brand new to the con that are kind of interested in like what we're doing and just kind of want to meet new people. It's very kind of safe, fun, like space to get together and mix and mingle. When we're done with this interview, I have to make the alternate history bingo game. I think the free space is going to be goggles, and it'll just kind of get silly from there. It'll be fun. So that's what we got Thursday night. And then Sunday night is the big, huge party of the Mechanical Masquerade. And it is also the third year of doing that. And this year's theme is the Mechanical Masquerade Atlantis. As I like to call it, is Enchantment 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It is fantastic.
Nice.
That's cool.
And where's that at?
I'm very, very proud of it. We've got all kinds of great talent lined up. We've got DJs Emmett Davenport and Lady Attercup from the Clockwork Cabaret. I'll be DJing as well. We've got the Nathaniel Johnstone Band. And they're kind of notorious for kind of bringing up all their other band friends that they make during the con up on stage to jam with them. So odds are there will be special guests. I'm just kind of planning ahead for that. I would not be surprised if there would be a musician or two kind of making a guest appearance. And that's the live music portion. And what I really like about the party isn't so much what we do. It's just so much what I hear about it, because I'm told that all these people show up at my party and I never know because I'm working. I am told apparently Richard Hatch comes every year and parties with some friends of his, and I have no clue. I know Grant Imahara was there a couple years back. Again, no clue. No idea it happened until years later, actually. But the thing that I do always find out is people call it the steampunk prom, and I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, that is actually how people described it to me at one point. And I was like, okie dokie.
That's
not a bad name. I've
been in steampunk now for 5 years, like pretty much since it got started. And I've been to steampunk-specific conventions. And these are where folks go kind of all out. They really bring their A-game for those specific conventions. And they're all good shows. But when I'm at the Mechanical Masquerade and I look around a ballroom full of 5,000 people and almost all of them dressed to the absolute nines, there is nothing else like it in the world. Like, it is so impressive. It's definitely worth just to poke your head and have a little bit of a good time before you go meander off doing whatever the hell else you could be doing. Although why you would leave, I don't know. But anyway, those are our two big parties. We've got a couple other events mm-hmm. that we're doing in our track room throughout the course of the weekend. Another neat one that we're doing on Saturday right after the parade is the airship races, which is in the big Peachtree Ballroom because we need the big ceiling, because people are going to be doing remote controlled airships and racing them.
Now, you did that for, like, the first time last year, right?
Yeah, we did. It turned out pretty good.
Okay, that was going to ask. So that went over really well enough to come back?
Nice. Yeah, and this year, though, we're working with the Robotics and Makers track to kind of do it as a joint track effort.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Because the later on that day, we're going to be doing airship engineering in the Makers track. Like, it's a co-track thing, but it's going to be over at the Makers track area because the folks that kind of build and make their own RC things, I mean, that's right up their alley. So getting the chance to really tinker and how to like basically modify a remote controlled plane into a blimp, or how to do, you know, how to take just basically a helium balloon and make your own AC, like RC robot out of it so that it has direction and lift and all that. That's stuff well beyond my understanding, but I'm sure they enjoy it.
And I had a question too. Have you ever thought about doing something with science so you guys could actually talk about the grandfather paradox and how it's not true?
You said at the beginning
to
that
go
he,
back in time.
Well, funny you should mention that. In addition to the the practical time travel one, where we're having the science versus fiction
science.
Kind of methods of time travel. We, you know, we literally have a panel, all capitalized, for science, exclamation point. And science. This is a very sensitive microphone. I don't want to do this and potentially hurt people's ears. But yes, that, for science, the myth versus reality of the myth versus reality of steam power. So it is basically two fictional specialists of steampunk literature versus two real scientists that know their engineering and physics backwards and forwards, talking about the actual reality of what steam power was versus how we completely make it up and get it wrong in our media and fiction.
but it's
okay.
It's funner making it up. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You don't want to be bogged down in the whole having to carry coal around with you thing, you know.
And I mean, I think we can all agree that two of the most well-known people of science in our particular wheelhouse of alternate history are Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison.
Uh-huh.
So all weekend long, we're going to have two donation boxes set up for each of them. One will say Tesla and one will say Edison. And all the proceeds that will go into those donation boxes will benefit our official charity, the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And on Sunday evening, shortly before the big party, we're going to have the Tesla versus Edison debate, where we're going to have, again, someone from the science track. I love Steven Grenade so much. Someone from the science track and one of our steampunk specialists debate for Tesla and Edison, respectively. And the people's donations in the boxes will determine the winner.
I predict a Tesla runaway. But go on.
I'm hoping enough of us like the underdog enough to kind of keep him in the race. Anyhow,
which way?
Everyone we know from New Jersey will at least contribute. Come on now. there are a few of them that'll actually cop to being from New Jersey, right? I know we've got one of them in our own track, Mr. John Strangeway, aka Steampunk Boba Fett. He's getting roasted this year. It's gonna be fun.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
We're
going to
make fun of
him
for an entire hour.
And yeah, that is a gorgeous, gorgeous costume that he does. I mean, that is just beautiful.
It's a brilliant, brilliant, amazing costume that he's made sure everyone in the everyone has seen on the internet ever. we're going to be roasting him to the 5th anniversary of said costume. So I think he's washed it maybe once since. And right. I need to save that for the roast.
Roast, I was going to say.
So we've got that going on, and so that's going to be a lot of fun. And shortly before that, he'll be running the Her Royal Majesty's Boasting Contest, which is a game that anyone can come out and play and brag about. And it's how well you brag, because bragging was kind of a sport. And, it really should be, because it's really a fun, silly contest. Let's see, what else we got? We got T-Dueling, which we talked about last time, I think. We got two different film screenings. Both are right after the Tesla Edison debate, and they're in the two different rooms. So both rooms will be movie theaters after the debate. One will be playing the Crypto Historians screening, which is a steampunk web series that'll be debuting soon. And it'll be done. The Q&A will be done by guest Jimmy Diggs and some folks that are involved with the show. They'll be there for Q&A. And in the other room will be Who is Tesla, which is a screening of the biopic Megahertz, which is about Tesla's life in a very kind of modern biopic kind of way. It's been entered in a couple of film festivals and it's done pretty well. And it was made by Jordan Gray, who's a radio DJ on B98.5, I believe, here in Atlanta. So those film screenings will be happening. And I think did I mention the fashion show or the Clockwork Carnival yet?
Oh, you have not?
Okay. So on Friday, winding it back, Friday at 1 o'clock in the Hyatt. In partnership with the costuming track, because Lee is an amazing human being. We have.
Yes, he is. That's Lee in costuming. Lee, L-E-E, and yes, he is.
Yes, Lee Cox. Not other Lee that is on the show every week, I assume, or every day.
Every day.
John tells me.
Whatever time John releases this. Lee Cox of costuming and myself, we've kind of helped put this together. Well, rather, we made sure it happened and very talented people are putting this together, which would be Paige Gardner, who's a attending professional at Dragon Con, and Megan Maud are putting together the Vintage Vogue Fashion Show, Historical Costumes Real and Imagined, which is a fashion show of both period historical historic costume recreations mixed with punked versions of that. Whether it's an actual Victorian gown followed by a steampunk, you know, a steampunk, and then, you know, a period Edwardian, and then Rococo, a Rococo punk, and, you know, so on and so forth. And so it'll be a very interesting thing for folks that really love the kind of fashion show element of costuming. Bring your camera and just keep taking pictures. You'll have a great time. And on Saturday, I believe, is the 30th. Yes. Yeah, Saturday's the 30th. The Clockwork Carnival. I need to finish putting that together tonight, actually. But it is a carnival. Like, it's a one-hour theatrical event with the Marquis de Vaudeville and some of the folks from Hat and Cross Steampunk and a couple of other odds and ends and skits and bits thrown in. And it will be very much a carnival of clockwork curiosities. Similar to what we did last year, but a little bit more rehearsed and planned.
Okay. Very cool. Cool. So you mentioned something, and I want to pretend like I know what it is, but what is Rococo punk?
Okay. So I think all the hyphen punks are just awesome. But really, they kind of come in a couple of varieties. The Rococo punk folks are the ones that take the opulence and decadence of the Rococo era, like Marie Antoinette, Let Them Eat Cake, that kind of thing, and they mix it with the glam punk rock of the Sex Pistols.
Ooh.
Oh.
So there are folks that will have this gorgeous Rococo colorful dress, but on the back in studs are Let Them Eat Cake with this giant bouffant mohawk instead of the usual hair and attire. Or there's a gentleman in a very foppish attire with like the David Bowie lightning bolt makeup going on. You know, I mean, it's just very much a punk and glam rock type of thing mixed with the glamorous opulence of the era. It was first seen here at Dragon Con by Megan Maud and a lot of her friends. I think they're called the Uprising Collective as far as the costuming group goes. But if you look up Rococo Punk on the interwebs, you will see pictures of them.
I am looking at them now, and that is actually pretty cool.
It's pretty
very,
neat.
Very, very cool. And I guess I have seen them around. I just didn't know that they had a name.
Yeah, they kind of coined that term, and it's catching. It really is. I've been seeing more and more of them every year. But we also have the Diesel Punk Kids, which we're doing another Diesel Punk 101 panel because the last one we had to turn people away. And so we made sure it was in a really big room. We've got it prime-timed and ready to go because the Diesel Punk folks, similar to the Steampunks, but folks that like to kind of identify as Diesel Punk and not Steampunk because – there are folks that just use it all interchangeably, and I'm cool with that too. I don't care how you have fun, just have fun. But for folks that really like to say this is diesel punk, what they mean is it is the science fiction extrapolation similar to steampunk, but the era is far more in during the time of the Great Wars, World War One and Two, where things are grimy and dirty and diesel powered and very militaristic or in that same vein of the, you know, late teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s of the 20th century.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So you mentioned a bunch of events you're doing, and you mentioned a couple of your guests, but what other guests do you have coming this year?
Ooh, okay. Well, the grand master of alternate history himself, literary guest of honor of Dragon Con, Mr. Harry Turtledove, is going to be one of our guests at the con. And he is oftentimes called the grandfather of alternate history, and rightly so.
Mm.
He is one of the most prolific authors of the genre. Also, S.M. Sterling is coming back. He's another excellent author and guest. Let's see. Sherry Priest is returning as well. We've got Dave Lee. We've got some costuming guests that we've got coming back, like Dave Lee of Hat and Cross Steampunk, Chris and Leah Lee from Apparition Abolishers. We've got those are, I guess, attending professionals, but I kind of consider them all guests.
Yeah, they're all guests.
Now, what's really neat is we have James Blaylock coming. He's another author, but he's the one that wrote the very first officially steampunk story that was published. So I've actually got a really neat panel with Harry Turtledove, S.M. Sterling, and James Blaylock in our track that's going to be titled The Masters of Alternate History, where it's a Q&A with the three most notable names in the literary world for steampunk and alternate history, which is going to be pretty neat. I'm excited about that. Let's see. You want me to keep going?
Yes, please do.
Whatever you want to say, yes, we like it.
Okay, well, I mentioned it earlier, but Emmett Davenport and Lady Addercop are with, they run a radio show that's now a podcast. It's been going on for 7 years. It's called The Clockwork Cabaret. Mm-hmm. And every steampunk DJ I know, if you ask them where they kind of learned what they call steampunk music, they will all say it came from Emmett and that show. The show has been really much like on the forefront of the music side of what of the steampunk movement, and I can't stress that enough. I would not be here doing what I do if it wasn't for them. They're great. I love them. Can't say enough good things about them. Diana Foe is coming as well. She is also also known as Aileen the Peacemaker in the steampunk community. She is a writer with Tor.com. She's actually been in the media for a long time, but also for the alternate history people, she runs Multicultural Steampunk, which is like the biggest blog that covers all things steampunk that aren't English European centric. That's very much a passionate subject of hers, and I think it's great. excuse me. We also, in addition to the steampunk stuff and the strictly alternate history stuff, we've kind of adopted the neo-pulp authors as well into our track, because a lot of that is very alternate history, pulp, adventure, very much sits in our wheelhouse. So folks like James Tuck, Bobby Nash, a lot of the neo-pulp authors that are at the con will be there. We'll actually be doing a pulp fiction, like the actual fiction genre, not the Tarantino film panel.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you have so many people. I mean, are these some of these are not just individual panels? You're doing them as groups. You were just talking about the pulp as a group. So
yes, yes.
Because you're not doing it 24/4 in your panel room, are you?
No, no.
Okay. Good. No, I was no, like, see. You are going to sleep, right? Okay.
Oh no, no, no. I never sleep. But I mean, it's. I want to actually go out and have fun in the evenings.
Oh, good! But, yay!
While they're not necessarily part of our track, but we have a lot of bands that are coming to the con that are really popular with steampunk kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Cog is Dead, they're really awesome. The Ghost Project, the Gin Rebellion, Jig to a Millstone, Marquis of Vaudeville, Unwoman, and the Nathaniel Johnstone Band. I'll be working with most of these guys over the course of the weekend because I'm having some of the bands because I know most all of them actually. I know all of them, and they'll be playing like during the museum hours. They may be playing like the line while you're waiting for one of the big events. So I'm going to try to work with them to kind of make it entertaining for folks while they're just kind of milling around. But if you have a chance to go to the concourse stage and check out some of those bands, you absolutely should because they're all really, really good.
And you will see the concourse stage schedule will be in the app and will be paper later. So that is, you can find out approximately when they're going to be there. And by when I say approximately, the some of those times, depending on if other things are going on, can be like 5-10 minutes early or late. Just sometimes things happen. So that's really cool. Now, all right. So here's my question. All the gears are in sync. Everything's going great. And you find 2 hours where you can actually go and see something else. What would you maybe like to go see at Dragon Con that's not in your track or in your room?
You have enough
time to actually leave the Westin.
I leave
and go
the Westin
to another hotel.
I leave the Westin twice every weekend. Well, three times
I
technically.
Know. Right.
So Friday night I go to the Pinups by the Pool party.
Okay. Mm.
Which is over there at the Sheraton.
Yep.
It's run by Tallulah Love and the folks of Dragon Con Burlesque. And they have a neat little tiki party. There's like mermaids and cabana peoples and shimmy, like girls in shimmy outfits and whatnots and Mai Tais. And I'm happy. It's quite nice there.
And that is what time on at the Sheraton?
I believe that is
Friday?
8. I believe it runs from 8 to 10 at the Sheraton Hotel.
There we go.
Which is a bit of a hike from the Westin, but the walk is good exercise. And
straight down a hill, man. Straight down a hill.
Yep,
okay.
Yep. And then Saturday night, I got talked into doing a group cosplay because I am very much all in favor of it. And so we're all getting together and we're going in group en masse as the steampunk version of the various Spectrum core, whether, you know, the Green Lanterns, the Yellow Lanterns, the whole spectrum of us, we're all represented. And I, of course, have to do it because I called dibs on orange and there is only one and it's all mine. So I am the orange lantern.
Mine, damn it.
Oh, indeed. Got it. I have a steampunk lantern that dispenses alcohol, lights up, and makes noise. So I'm ready to go.
Oh, that is awesome.
Wait. You have a lantern that gives out alcohol?
Yep. It there's a tap on it.
That's, like, so cool.
Yep.
That's a great steampunk invention.
Oh, man. That was the best thing I've ever commissioned. I got to give a definite thanks to Frank, the Wicked Tailor, by the way, if you ever want to search him on Facebook. Great guy. Makes some awesome stuff. We're doing that, and we're going to go make an appearance at the Heroes and Villains Ball. And hopefully I can still make it in time for the burlesque show at midnight, which is the Glamour Geek Review, also done by Tallulah Love, fabulous lady. And I don't miss that ever. Otherwise, I get in trouble.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not trying to say anything, but yeah, you have to go to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when your wife runs it, you kind of have to go support her, you know. Just a thing.
I didn't know if you wanted to say it was your wife, but
yeah, no, it's okay. We, you know, like, a long time ago, we used to, like, not say that because there was often a need for burlesque girls to kind of have this illusion of availability. But thankfully, we've advanced enough to not really need to worry about that. folks are okay. So I've been married to her for 8 years now. Eight years ago, Dragon Con was my bachelor party, and we were married the week after.
Oh, really? Aww. So, if you don't mind, and we're taking a sidetrack real quick, but did you meet her at Dragon Con, or did you meet her outside of Dragon Con?
Oh, I met her outside of Dragon Con.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
It just so happened I could think of no other better place to have a bachelor party than Dragon Con.
Now, that wasn't your first time going to Dragon Con, though. It was just where your bachelor party was.
Oh, it was a while. I've been going to Dragon Con since 2002.
Oh, okay. So that was a while. All right, cool. So now I have to ask you our last question, unfortunately. But if you could live in only – you have the choice. You have to make up your own time period and your own type of punk, and you could only live in that. You had to live in that for the rest of your life. What time period / punkish thingy would you live in?
Oh, man. I've been asked that question before.
Oh, really?
I would totally go atomic punk, 100%. Like, you know, minus the big bowl, like, helmet things from the like, we're talking the 1950s era science fiction stuff.
Oh, nice.
I'm a big fan of that, not just because I love Duck Dodgers in the 33rd and a half century or whatever it was.
Oh, always, yes.
But also it has the three things I need most to survive in a world, which is air conditioning, very, very, very needed. Some form of internet of any kind, also very needed. And last but not least, the music is just so good. I love swing stuff. Like, swing is my jam. It's what I do. At the time where all the pulps were covering, like, Buck Rogers and all this big atomic era stuff is when, like, the swing scene was huge, and that was really kind of my stuff. So, absolutely, I'd go atomic punk. Sweet. All the way.
All right. So, let's remind everybody where you're located in the Westin and where else you're going, and also where people can find out more information, be it the Twitters or the interweb or the Facebooky thing, or, you know, those things that those kids are doing.
Well, you can find us in any number of ways. You can find us at the Twitters at @decon_althistory. You can find us on Facebook. We have both a Facebook page as well as a Facebook group. If you just search for Dragon Con Alternate History in Facebook, you will find both, more than likely. We're both. It's fine. Whichever way you like. We also just recently, as in today, updated our website. So you can alternatehistory.dragoncon.org. And everything I just talked about will be on there.
Yeah, so you have you have your tentative schedule, because everything is tentative until it actually happens. Even in time travel.
I did put that on there. What was that?
I said even in time travel, everything is tentative until it happens.
I like to say it's all relative.
this event actually happened even though it was canceled. You just didn't know it.
Yes. One of these days, I kind of want to make a joke panel at like 1 a.m. when the track rooms close and call it a time traveler's party. I'll do this one year. I'm telling you right now. Just be like, what?
I know. Nope, just be no like, one. If somebody shows up, it's like, dude, we already had it.
It's already done.
We
already had it. It's done. It's over.
Cool.
I'm going to do it. One of these days.
But now you've told people, so now.
I like that idea.
Actually, it's not these people that would be fooled anyway.
I have a feeling I'll get yelled at if I do. Anyway.
You didn't have any staff. I mean, volunteers. And your room. Anyway. Dr. Q, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. You're awesome, and we love your track, and we love you. We really love you, man. Anyway.
I love you
too, guys. Okay. Oh, what happened here? All right. So, anyway, until next time, this is John for Dr. Q and a weeping Lee saying until next time, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.